she says, "We can talk about courage and love and compassion until we sound like a greeting card store, but unless we're willing to have an honest conversation about what gets in the way of putting these into practice in our daily lives, we will never change, never ever." And I kind of like that quote, probably because, like, isn't that what we're doing here right now? This is Two Slant Trees, the podcast where a married couple try to get our minds off the corona apocalypse during social distancing by going through a book together. Hey, Willie, how would you describe this show if we were a real podcast that people would actually listen to? Also, shout out to Matt and Maria, who we know are actually listening, and maybe Becky also. So yes, how would we describe this?
Some of it is just like a very public coping mechanism with just the stress of our lives.
We're a real podcast. Because you know how at the start of podcast they say, this is the podcast where...
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen like those wildlife films. Like they go around, like there's a bear falling out of a tree or something. And so everyone looks at it and they laugh at it. And then on Facebook later, someone comes back and says, don't watch that. That's a bear falling out of a tree. Like the only... She's only doing that because she's very depressed. And I think that's maybe true of a lot of podcasts, that this is something that human beings only do when they are very depressed.
Some people are just generally creative.
They just like to talk. Yeah, yeah. So, but I guess, yeah, we're doing this out of a mild desperation, but a commitment to growth. And we want to have fun too.
Okay, so what you just witnessed there is Willie and I doing our very obvious coping mechanisms where we joke about things that are difficult. So there it is. There it is.
Yeah.
So before we get started, you had something that you wanted to say.
Well, as we're moving into the corona...
Hashtag coronapocalypse.
Is that what I'm calling it. That seems a bit too ominous.
It's also been referred to as the plague.
You were actually making reference to plague. Apocalypse, you know, it means to reveal something in the original Greek. Anyways, so you are going to learn things about us, maybe that you wish you didn't know, right? Because that's something that is like a revelation. You're going to have revelations about us. So sure, we'll go with a corona apocalypse podcast. Anyways, I'd heard a while ago that Prime Video had this great advantage in their video streaming service, because you know if you go on Netflix, they only have a limited number of videos, right? They could run out. It'd be like toilet paper at the grocery store, right? They could run out. You could watch every single thing. But I guess on Prime, they kind of let people just upload whatever.
That's frightening.
Yeah, so there's a lot of frightening content, but it does mean that it's endless, right? There's no limit. Like people will keep on putting stuff. It's almost like YouTube, except for I guess it's longer. I guess I don't know. But it means Prime's never going to run out of content. And I verified this. I looked up Sharknado. I don't know if you guys remember the Sharknado phenomenon.
I don't think we've ever seen any Sharknados, have we? Did we see one when we were, like, dating or something?
I think when we were dating.
That 3 months we were dating.
Yeah. Another story. Yeah. We watched one or two. Sharknado, right, is that the sharks get caught up in a tornado and then they attack a city and you have to fight them off and to defend yourself. And it's... Sometimes you're in Iceland, and sometimes you're in Los Angeles, and, you know, sometimes you're in Kansas. I don't know how that one works. But there's actually 12 Sharknado movies on Amazon Prime, which is, I mean, it's a biblical number. But technically, these quarantines are 14 days. So we maybe need to petition Amazon or whoever is in charge of the Sharknado franchise that they should put out two more movies.
So we can watch one every day
for an entire quarantine.
So people could listen to our podcast and then go watch Sharknado.
Go watch Sharknado, yeah.
Well, let's be honest. The people with multiple children at home, their life will be Sharknado.
Yeah, quite likely. Yeah.
Thank you to all of the teachers out there, Becky, for teaching our children every day. And the homeschool.
Well, not our children. Other people's children. Other people's children. Yeah. But, I mean, you could teach our children, too.
So, to the real content.
Yeah.
We are going through the introduction of the book, The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown. Maybe we should have done the introduction of the book in our introduction podcast, but whatever. That would have implied that we were actually planned ahead of time to do that. So this chapter introduces the concept of wholehearted living. And Yeah, here, Willie, I'm just going to get you to read that first paragraph.
Yeah, sure thing. Yeah, so, yeah, I'll read it out. So, here it is. It says, wholehearted living is about engaging in our lives from a place of worthiness. It means cultivating the courage, compassion, and connection to wake up in the morning and think, no matter what gets done and how much is left undone, I am enough. It's going to bed at night thinking, yes, I am imperfect and vulnerable and sometimes afraid, but that doesn't change the truth that I am also brave and worthy of love and belonging.
Okay, so I love that last line, what she says about being brave and worthy of love and belonging. But I want to go back to that part about where she says, I am enough. I see that phrase everywhere. Like, if you are a woman, you probably, or if you like Pinterest, depending on what you're following, I don't know, but I see it everywhere. On Pinterest, I see it on Instagram. It's a mantra that people want to say, and it's affirmation, I am enough. And like, part of me is just like, I just cringe every time I hear it. And that's probably like the Christian in me that's like, I mean, I get what she's saying in part, like, the important part, like, I don't know, I get what she's saying, I think, but then as a Christian, I'm just sort of like, I don't get it. Like, what do you think? Because part of me is like, yes, we are image bearers of Christ, and like, God has created us, and in that we have, like, worth, and we are good, but like, I don't know, what does she even mean by we are enough? What do you think she's trying to get at?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't think it bothers me that much, like, as a Christian. I don't actually know what sort of faith background or what sort of faith Brené Brown has.
I think
she just has a whole lot of things in this book, at least, that are, for sure, I think they're, like, Christian adjacent. at least as far as this book goes. So I don't know what her whole position on everything is. Because I think when, I don't know, I think, just reading that, and as far as I've gone, to say I am enough, to read it charitably, I think it's not so much saying, like, I can do anything I put my mind to, or, like, no. I'm awesome, but it's actually kind of, I think it's actually more just embracing our limits, right? Like, embracing that the limits that are on us are not bad,
right? Like, our humanity, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, the limits of, yeah.
Because, like, I don't know, when I think of I am enough, it's like, I am sufficient in and of myself. Like, you know, I don't know. I guess I don't really understand the statement. I'm enough for what? Like, I am enough for, I guess I'm enough of a person that I need to be. I don't know. Like, I just don't even understand. And maybe that's the perfectionist in me. Like, I don't know. I just don't even.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think one of the things that, so even Jesus says, he's like, you know, sufficient for the day is its own trouble, you know, like each day has enough trouble for itself. So that's maybe like the flip side of it is that every day has its challenge. But then he kind of goes on to say, oh, so don't worry about tomorrow, you know? And so I think if we look at that even within ourselves of like, the challenge of the day is enough for today and I don't have to be anxious about tomorrow. But also that the strength that I have is enough for me to go through this situation. Right. Okay. And I think this is where it's like, I think something's in the Bible a lot more clear or more specific. Right. Because knowing that we're made by God, we can know that it's very specific in how each of our specific, a lot of S's I'm saying right now, our strengths and limitations are still enough. You know, they're enough to be loved, enough to go do good, and enough to grow, and then enough to still be good even after we fail, right? So there's a...
Yeah, right? I guess
that,
I wonder...
At that level, we're enough.
Maybe what she is saying is, like, she's taking this sort of, like, societal phrase, I am enough, although this was published back in, like, okay, 2010, so that was still something people said back then. But I think, yeah, the idea, I think what she's getting at is the idea of, like, I am worthy of love and belonging, which is what she says later, you know, I'm brave and worthy of love.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe, wait, coming at, so, like, I feel like sometimes I catch myself thinking, like, you know, I'd be a better parent if I had more money, right? Like, that's okay. That's ridiculous. Yeah, you're laughing.
Sorry.
But, right, like, that.
It makes no sense to me.
If I could, you know, I don't know, have a bigger house. My kids would be happier, and they wouldn't get on my nerves so much. You know, when we're stuck on a quarantine. You know, if I had a great big backyard,
there would just be more spaces for them to hide in and poop in the corner, or draw on the wall.
Correcting me.
Sorry,
but this is just kind of the way my head thinks. It was like, I think in reality, it's not this external thing of, say, more money that's going to make me a better parent. No. It's actually something in me right now that has to happen in order to be a good parent. It's not something kind of external. Or even, you can think like, oh, if I'd made better choices, you know, as younger, I'd be more satisfied with my life right now. But actually, just who you are right now is enough, right? Even if you look back and say, I wish something was different.
Enough or sufficient? I guess this is just like, I think maybe sufficient. Can we say that?
I am sufficient. Yeah, I mean, even the Apostle Paul says, right? He says, like, by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, like, you can see that he's got to this point by God's grace. God's helped him this far, and then we'll help him today and then in the future, you know?
I guess I think I just find it an empty phrase if you take, like, God and Jesus out of it.
Yeah, well, that's maybe, I think...
Like, as a Christian, that's why I say kind of,
it's Christian adjacent.
Yeah, for right? sure. I guess what I'm asking about is, like, how do we read it as a Christian?
Yeah, I think it just, I don't know. I don't know if we have to go all the way to it. I just feel like it rhymes, right? Like, it's Christian adjacent. It kind of rhymes with what God says and what Jesus has done for us.
Well, some people right? read it and say that is completely opposite.
Okay. Well, how so?
Because we are taught, like, you are a sinner and you are saved by grace. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, you have nothing, you know, except for Jesus, like all that kind of stuff. And so it's like, you know, all of that, you know, like that's what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think maybe the one point, like, I think there's like some skipped steps in what Brené Brown's saying, because just what she's saying kind of lines up with like the fact that God made everyone and everything, and he made the world good and he made us good and to do good. Right. And, like, he's given us that capacity to be good and to do good, right? And to have fulfilling lives. But I think just the fact that she's, like, has this declaration at the start of her book that you can say, I am enough. I think it presumes, actually, that most people are coming to the book saying, actually, I'm not enough, right? That's what people are feeling. They're feeling like they're not good enough, like they don't have so X, Y, or Z that's going to give them joy, peace, you know, health, you know. And so, like, people's experience is that life is actually a lot harder than they know it should be, right?
Yeah.
Like, people kind of know that life should be
intuitively better,
you know? Yeah. And there's a Christian explanation for why life is so much harder than it should be. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if Brené Brown really gets into that, in this book, at least. But I think, like, if for you life is a lot, if you feel like life is harder than it should be, and some of that is external, some of that is internal to your own character, I think this book's for you. I'd also say Jesus is for you too. But well, I don't know. We'll try to weave those things together, I guess, as we go. I don't know. That's kind of what I took it. I am enough.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I wanted to ask you about it, because I think you have a good... you think about these things well, and I think you're able to just parse some of those things about, like, the dumb hang-ups that Christians can have sometimes. Mm. So moving on deeper into the book, she also talks about, digging deep. Now, we're going to skip over the part she made reference to, the need for courage, compassion, and connection. And those are, like, oh, that's so good. But we'll go into it more next chapter. But so she talks about digging deep, and the way she used to dig deep, I think it's kind of like what you and I would call, like, just pushing through.
Coping, I think, is part of it, okay. Right? Like, there's pushing through and then coping.
I guess, because
kind of both of them, yeah.
I guess maybe for me, it's like digging deep. It's like, intuitively, I think of it of those time where I'm just like, I just need to keep going, and, like, when I don't want to go, keep going, right?
Yeah.
And Yeah, so she explains a story of her own way she like used to live like this, and then she gives like a positive version of this. So, just a question for you, Willie. How have you dug deep in the past, and what has that looked like?
Yeah, and this is like in an unhealthy way.
Yes.
Kind of. Yeah, I mean, I think like the simple, easy ones for me are just like food, right?
It's so good.
That's kind of just like Doritos to get through a rough day or a rough evening. Actually, some friends helped me understand that one thing that I've done in the past, I mean, I still do it, is kind of dig deep into kind of knowledge and information, really information, because it's kind of disconnected information. But if I can know everything about something, then I can have kind of confidence to manage complexity.
Mm-hmm.
And I can use that to kind of wall myself off from relationship, because I'm like, I know I am right. Right, I know what the right thing is to do, and so I don't have to connect as much with other people, right? Yeah. And so, but it's because I don't. Life is hard, right? So I just want to know what's going on. I need a clear answer from the people around me.
I'm yeah. really trying hard not to make a joke about being Dutch and being right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're both Dutch.
Speaking of the Dutch, I saw this thing going around. I mean, on the internet, of like hand washing. Prominence of different cultures.
Yeah, and didn't it say that
the Dutch were the worst for washing their hands after they go pee? So,
but you just think they are telling the truth?
Possibly their high truthfulness, but it's like, so it was like a map of Europe by prevalence of washing your hands, and the Dutch under 50%. So
who had the highest rate of lying /
maybe the Danes. I don't know. So if you're in the Netherlands and someone wants to shake your hand, just. You might be playing a risk, but I don't know. What about for yourself?
Yeah, I think I can only think of a few examples. Like, basically, I just force myself to keep going. I think, like, I don't know. The one example that comes to mind is just when I guess I have these two options of fight or flight. I mean, we all that's classic, right? Fight, flight, or freeze. But I remember in university when I just like desperately hated what I was reading, and had to finish it for my courses. Like, it was just like, I would buckle down and I would like tell myself that the pink highlighter was enough to give me the what I needed to finish. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what I did, but I just like that. I mean, I pushed through so much that I actually think I went through burnout at some point, and it was just through like grit. And it's just that, like, putting your head down and being like, well, you have no choice. Like, you have to do this. You have no choice. But I think other times, like, I don't know if this is, I don't know if I would call this digging deep, because it's not at all pushing through, but a coping mechanism, if we're going to use that term, is just like quitting. And just like, it's like, I either go big or go home, and like, going home in a sense is just like, I can't do this. This is like just screw it. Like just, and then in that way, like walling myself off to the feeling of it and being like, and, or the people that I'm disappointed in, and just, or the people I am disappointing, and by just being like, well, like just give myself excuses or whatever. And like, yeah, I have a pretty solid history of quitting stuff and telling myself it was fine. This seems like the opposite of digging deep, because it's like, but it's that a sense of like, it's, yeah, if we're talking coping, that's the way I used to cope or still do. But I think I'm witnessing it now. I've kind of, like you said, that some friends help you see that it was the expertise.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I've had people who give feedback and help me see that, like, that is one of the things that I do. And I'm starting to like see myself doing those things.
Yeah, I think another one for me too is like anger, which can be like just quite powerful, where it's like you kind of get like, I don't know, I grew up on a farm and my first job was working construction, and so it's very physical work, and so, you know, if you you're pounding a nail in, you can just hit it harder, right? And if you're a bit frustrated with your boss, so can maybe be more effective, but that works with like lumber. But it doesn't work with people. And so it's not a great way of getting things done, or of kind of getting through a shift, you know, getting through a shift at work. And yeah, I'm not sure I picked that up, whether it's going to public school or
going to... You were ruined by public school.
Yeah. Hey, I was thinking, you know, where I grew up, so like there's an elementary school and high school. Yeah. We always just called elementary school public school, but that doesn't make any sense because the high school was a public school as well.
We always called it elementary school.
Yeah. Elementary, my dear Watson. So I don't know. That's just what we did. Yeah. Where I come from.
So now that we're starting to feel, I feel a little exposed. How about you?
Not yet. I mean, I don't know if anyone's listening to us. So,
that's true.
But thank you for those that are. I mean, this is good for us and hopefully good for you.
Okay. So she moves on to explaining digging deep. So this is based on research. Now I think that that's really important for us to remember is that this is not just her like making stuff up. She's actually researched people. And at the end of the book, she explains her methodology, but, so in her research, she found people who lived wholeheartedly learned different ways to dig deep. And so, like a good author, she came up with an acronym.
Yeah.
And so it's for dig, D-I-G. D is deliberate in their thoughts and behaviors through prayer, meditation, and simply setting their intentions. I, inspire to make new and different choices. And G, going, take action. Mm. So Willie, have you had any experiences of this, like, of trying a new way, or have you seen yourself, like, think of an example of this in your life?
Okay, yeah, of how it goes differently.
I mean, I know, like, I think for me, in the last year or so, I just have felt like a terrible failure of a parent many times. I think like, well, it's become evident the more children we add to our family, I think Susan Stabile, is that how you say her last name? She has a couple podcasts that I listen to, and she talks about it as being like your way of being in the world. My way of being in the world is like a tornado at times. I have come to see that about myself. And anyways, so seeing that my tornado chaos is not always the most helpful environment for my family, like you and the kids, I have tried to solve that a little bit, but also to like just brainstorm new ways that I can do things. So like, like different ideas, like I'll research and try new things. And then I just do it. And yeah, I guess like, that's a little bit like the way you operate sometimes is like through research and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You know, something I've started doing, if I have to write like an email, and you know that I take a forever to write anything.
It is. Right? Excruciating watching
that. Because I don't know how to, I'm not sure how to say what I'm going to say. But when I write my first draft, depending on the context, the first line I write is, I love you, to the people that I'm writing to. Or, we love you, if it's from Jess and I. The different context, you know.
Kind of emails do you write, I love you?
Oh, so this is like, so we do fundraising.
Okay, right? For your newsletter.
Yeah, newsletter, okay. Fundraising.
Guys, you know? I'm like, do you write like, Dave, and or you're like, I love you. sometimes.
But write a fundraising letter, and we'd start it with, we love you, to realize this is what is going on in this. And then it made it made the writing go a lot better. Mm-hmm. But then it made the actual content of it just flowed from a different spot.
Okay,
that's where I've seen that. I think I've seen that. I don't know. We'll see if that's accurate, if I did that right.
Well, now we know this is the tools that she's going to keep using throughout the book is this idea of the DIG, the dig deep.
Join us tomorrow when we learn and talk about what Brené Brown means when she talks about compassion, courage, and connection.